proceed to the fifth case, Rizzo versus Pearson Associates. Mr. Edelman.
May it please the court, counsel, I'm Daniel Edelman for Mr. and Mrs. Rizzo. The issue in this case is the construction of a standard form mortgage which has been used for virtually all residential mortgages in the United States since 1990 or earlier. The question pertains to whether late charges may be collected by the mortgage company for months after the mortgage is accelerated and before it is reinstated. There's no issue as to late charges for months before it's accelerated, and if after it's been reinstated, the Rizzos should now make a late payment, there's no question that they would have to pay a late charge. This is not a case of first impression. Prior to the decision below, it had been considered by some 15 courts, including the Third Circuit, and appellate decisions from New York, Connecticut, and other states. All of them uniformly held that after the note is accelerated, there is no obligation to make monthly payments, and since the late charge is tied to the monthly payment, no late charges may be imposed. In fact, they note that the lender will generally not accept payments after acceleration because it would waive its right to do so. Contrary to the defendant's contention, some of these cases did involve reinstatement issues, for example, Tavern Motor Inn, where the issue was how much do you have to pay to reinstate. In other cases, such as the Third Circuit's decision in Security Mutual, held that it doesn't make any difference what the context is, whether we're determining how much is due in reinstatement, how much the amount of a judgment should be, or how much the payoff amount should be. The timing of these prior cases is also very important. This mortgage was issued in 1997. Most of the cases were decided prior to 1997. Fannie Mae, which is the form issuer, was a party to at least one of these cases. It issues a standard uniform instrument. It's called that. It is supposed to be, and says it's supposed to be, intended to have, as far as possible, the same meaning throughout the United States. Fannie Mae, sort of the paradigm of the sophisticated party, has a staff of attorneys which regularly monitor cases and statutes affecting the meaning of its mortgage, and every couple of years it comes out with a revised form which makes such changes as it deems appropriate. It could easily have altered this form to state, for example, that in the event of reinstatement, the borrower must pay an amount equal to the number of months between acceleration and reinstatement multiplied by the late charge specified in paragraph 4 of the note. Hasn't done it. Instead, it continues issuing thousands of forms which have the same judicially construed language in it, which make other changes, some protecting borrowers, some protecting lenders, but do not change it in this respect. If there is ever a case where a party to a contract adopted the construction placed upon it by the courts, it would be this one. It is also significant that the charge in this case appears to be part of a pattern of improper charges levied by either the debt collector or the mortgage company, Fairbanks. Mr. Rizzo, the record shows, was able to come up with a reinstatement amount on the eve of sale. He telephones Fairbanks, is told to wire transfer $4,000, fax them proof that he has the balance, which is about $8,000, and send it in several days and will cancel the sale. He performs, but is told, we've held the sale anyway. Sorry, you need to come up with another $10,000 to buy out the purchaser. That's total nonsense. You don't have to come up with such money. There's no legal basis for it, whatever. Then he's told, we've misplaced the $4,000. Please come up with it again. At this point, he gets an attorney. We move to dismiss the foreclosure as having been reinstated. The $10,000 demand just vanishes, and the $4,000 is mysteriously found. At this point, Mr. Rizzo requests an account history to see where his money went, and finds that about $500 to $600 in these late charges were imposed. The debt collector, meanwhile, has placed a message on their internet site saying that we'll try to collect these charges if the mortgage company indemnifies us, but not otherwise, which is a very unusual thing for a debt collector to say. Confronted with this evidence, the district court first decides that a trial needs to be held. And in fact, the parties appear for trial, but it was called off. During the same period, class certification was denied on the odd ground that it had been denied previously. It's now conceded by all parties that it hadn't been. After calling off the trial, the district court decides that the plain meaning of the mortgage documents requires a conclusion opposite to that of the 15 prior decisions without citing any of them. The particular language relied upon is the phrase in the mortgage requiring payment of, I'll quote it, all sums which would then be due, three dots, as if no acceleration had occurred, close quote. That same language has been present, and we've put the forms in the record, in every standard form mortgage issued by Fannie Mae, and it's also used by the FHA and VA, since about 1988 or earlier.
Just went now, back now you quoted the, you just quoted from the district court opinion.
Right. The district court quoted the language
right.
from the mortgage.
Right. And, and under Rule 30, you're supposed to include the copy of that opinion with your brief or as part of the appendix. You know, it was not included.
I thought it had been. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Okay, because that's one of the things I wanted to ask. You know, we've sanctioned people in the past for not including an opinion, and it wasn't. We found it routing around in the record, but it wasn't part of the appendix or your brief.
I do apologize, Your Honor.
It was inadvertent.
I am sorry.
All right.
I'm not sure how that happened. In any event, it's paragraph 18 of the mortgage. Paragraph 18 has been present in these standard form loans for 15 years. None of the other courts have thought it has the effect that the district court in this case thought it had. And in fact, it simply refers to what would be due had an acceleration not occurred. It is there because you only have to make bring the mortgage to its present point on the amortization schedule in the event of an acceleration. You do not have to pay the entire balance. It does not in any way change the obligation of the note, paragraph 4 of which ties the late charge to the existence of a monthly payment for a particular month, which is not made. If there is no obligation to make a monthly payment, there is no obligation to pay it in the event of reinstatement. I would, unless the court has some questions, conclude my remarks and save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Swafford.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Steve Swafford on behalf of the defendant, Pearson Associates. The plaintiffs talk about their 15 cases, but really they don't cite a single case that comes close to being anywhere on point to the case at bar. With a couple exceptions, all of the cases involve a scenario much different than the one here. Those cases involve a situation where mortgages were accelerated and then either paid off or they were foreclosed on and went to a sale.
Well, isn't it true that there are no monthly payments due once the note is accelerated?
That's what those cases hold. Once the loan is accelerated,
right,
there are no monthly payments due.
Then however, how could the Rizzos have missed any monthly payments?
Because
why would late fees accrue?
Because the mortgage provides that upon payment insured, that is reinstatement, this mortgage and the obligations secured here under shall remain in full force and effect as if no acceleration had occurred. And Mr. Edelman has never explained what as if no acceleration had occurred to mean anything else but we're going back and we're putting the parties back to the day before the mortgage was accelerated.
Did the Rizzos ever receive a notice of default regarding the post-acceleration monthly payments for which you're seeking to impose late fees?
No, because they were curing. There would be no occasion to do that because they came to the mortgage company and wanted to get out of default, and they asked how much had to be paid, and they paid it. they took themselves out of the default, they took themselves out of the acceleration, and they put the case, excuse me, they put the situation, the mortgage, back to the day before the acceleration occurred. And actually, before that, they took it back to before the default, because the Rizzo's had cured the default.
That doesn't make any sense to me, but, you know...
Well, I don't know how... If you reinstate... If a mortgage is accelerated, and it's reinstated as if no acceleration had ever occurred, then that time of the acceleration, what else could that mean? And it's a rhetorical question, but that period of acceleration had been wiped out. They had to cure all the defaults, otherwise they would have been better off. They didn't pay their mortgage for months and months and months and months. All right? And the mortgage lender didn't have to put them in default and didn't have to accelerate. And if the mortgage lender had not done so, then these late charges would have been charged every single month. For the Rizzos to get back to where they should be and what they owed, they had to pay every loan payment for which they had not paid. And since every one of those loan payments was late, they had to pay a late charge.
So why didn't they get notice of that? Why wasn't that figure calculated in the acceleration?
Because when it was accelerated, the...
I mean, why wasn't that broken out if that was supposed to be included?
Because when the loan was accelerated, the mortgage lender had no right to collect late charges during that period of acceleration. And the only way that the lender became entitled to those late charges again was because the Rizzos reinstated and this clause, as if no acceleration had occurred, came into effect.
Yeah, I thought it was if the only thing that happened was they didn't pay the default charges during that period of time.
They didn't pay anything during that period.
Yeah, but I mean, assuming they were taking the legal fiction that they paid it because they paid it late.
Right.
I would say go back to the front. You still owe the money that you didn't pay on the late charges.
Right. As if no acceleration it would have occurred means that...
Once they could elect to keep the acceleration program going, could they? And not pay any late charges, just pay it all at once.
That's right. They could have paid off their... They could have gone and gotten another mortgage and paid off the mortgage and got another lender, and they would have avoided all those late charges.
Oh. That's interesting. They have at the end, they don't have to pay any charges that they...
Well,
if they state the mortgage with you, they have to pay the late charge. I don't quote them.
It is interesting, but it is in the contract, and Mr. Edelman has admitted that he doesn't have any trouble with this scenario if this language had been more clear without her explaining why the language is unclear. He said in his brief that if this clause, that if no acceleration had occurred, had specifically referred to the collection of late charges, you know, as if no acceleration had occurred, including late charges, that there's no violation of anything. He says that in his brief. And he's never explained as why as if no acceleration had occurred is in any manner unclear. None of these 15 cases address this issue that he relies on. It's difficult when my opponent doesn't point out how as if no acceleration has occurred. What other meaning could that have other than the mortgage is reinstated as if we never accelerated it? And if we never accelerated it, then the mortgage lender was entitled to these payments. I'd just like to make a comment about this pattern, nefarious pattern that Mr. Edelman was talking about, where there was some confusion and mistakes made with regard to the plaintiffs coming into court and reinstating. There was no extra money ever charged. There were some mistakes made, and believe me, if any of them were illegal, Mr. Edelman would have found a way to state a claim based on those mistakes. But that has nothing to do whatsoever with the decision in this case. Let's board up any questions. Thank you.
And why don't you address that as if no acceleration occurred and tell us why it's ambiguous or we should somehow apply it, construe it favorably toward your client?
The clause is there because in the event of reinstatement as opposed to entry of a judgment or payoff of the loan, you don't make all of the remaining principal payments. You only make the principal payments you have missed, so that you are at the same point on the amortization schedule that you would have been had no acceleration occurred. You also have to pay the interest, which is computed on a per diem basis on the principal balance when you went into default. You have to pay legal fees and expenses. The clause does not refer to late charges. Given the, it is at best ambiguous. It does not specifically say that you have to assume that had the lender accepted payments during the acceleration period, which it will not, which it refuses to do for fear of waiving its rights, you should speculate or find that the payments that would have been but were not made would have been late. The cases say we're not going to inquire into that. If the lender accelerates and demands payment of everything and doesn't take monthly payments, you can't charge a charge that is tied to the monthly payments. The best that one can come out with is the conclusion that the language is ambiguous, in which case you look to prior judicial construction, you look to how Fannie Mae has construed this, you look to how it's been applied in the past. You can look to the purpose of late charges, which is to compensate the lender's internal collection people for the extra trouble of processing payments which are made but are made late and are handled in an irregular manner, where the loan is accelerated, it's sent out to counsel, you have to pay the counsel fees, those aren't disputed, and the lender is compensated fully for the actual collection expense it does incur. The courts have not permitted this. There's no basis really for departure in this case, and I think this mortgage should be construed the way it has been construed for the last 15 years. If it is accelerated, then no monthly payment is due, no late charge tied to a monthly payment is due, and the lender can't insist on this as a sort of reinstatement.
What's unfair about if you go back, Mr. Allen? What's the unfairness connected with the late charge? Let's not speak about whether it's ambiguous or not. You've got a situation where, let's say, something's accelerated. Then it's all due, right?
Correct.
The decision is made to give relief from that.
Correct.
Right? By letting the payments start to resume. In other words, go back to a time when we don't have acceleration. We're really reinstating the original agreement, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
But as the temporal quality, don't we have a gap in time when regular payments were not made?
That is correct, Your Honor.
All right. So what's unfair about a penalty attached to that catch-up time, so to speak, that now places the matter back on track, that is the payment?
One, it isn't provided for. Two, Fannie Mae has not, in drafting its forms, sought to impose every conceivable charge that could be imposed. Its purpose is to, in part, facilitate home ownership. People that have to reinstate are often in some financial distress. The additional $500, $600 could make the difference between keeping one's home and losing one's home. Furthermore, it doesn't compensate the lender for anything. Remember, you have to. There's a per diem in every foreclosure complaint. They take the principal balance outstanding on default and compute interest at the note rate.
But every time they were on default, the lender was entitled to the penalty clause. Really, every month that they didn't file on time, the lender was entitled to collect this, wasn't it?
No, Your Honor, if the loan had not been accelerated.
Late payments. Every late payment that was made triggered the problem.
Prior to acceleration.
Right.
Yes, we don't contest that.
So if the loan had just made late payments all along, they'd have to pay this penalty.
presumably they would have caught, they would have come up with the money.
I'm not talking about presumably. If each month they were late, they owed, under the contract, they owed them late penalty.
That is correct, if it is not accelerated.
Well.
So on the other hand,
they accelerate it, and they owe it all at once.
Correct. But they
already decided that they would be nice to them and let them refinance with themselves.
It's not a matter of grace.
Well, they didn't have to.
Yes, they did. The Fannie Mae form allows specifically reinstatement as a matter of right by the borrower until 5 days prior to the entry of a final judgment confirming the sale.
That is my understanding of that.
That is what paragraph 18 says.
I'll leave you the bidding. I've never been in default, but I've only been lucky, so there you go.
It's actually broader than the Illinois Mortgage Foreclosure Act, and it's one of the ways in which the Fannie Mae form is more protective than state law, and it does not go out of its way to be unfavorable to the borrower. It is a matter of right.
All right, now I've been talking for about 7 minutes over the time I ran out.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under